And we begin the second hour of Joint Resolution. Steve Elkins and Steve Starrs here at the show. And we're going to get back to our special guest, Mr. Dane Wigginton of geoengineeringwatch.org. And we're taking your calls. We have him for about 10 more minutes, and he's got a bolt. He's got lots of work to do. And we're going to take our next caller here, Murr in Wisconsin. You're on. Now, Murr, I want you to ask a question, not make a comment, a statement. I want you to ask a direct question, please.
Well, I'm going to do both, yeah. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I wondered, Mr. Wigginton, do you think you will be vindicated and see that geoengineering is recognized?
I already am.
I mean publicly.
What more do we need, Murr? We have Air Force generals. Have you viewed the film, The Dimming? Have you taken the time to view the film? It has Air Force generals in it, two of them, former Canadian Minister of Defense, former U.S. presidential cabinet members, former government scientists. Have you taken the time to view all their testimonies?
No. Was that Hellier you're talking about?
The Dimming. It's on the website.
Yeah,
you must watch this.
I'm talking about the Canadian he's discussing there. Is that Hellier? Paul Hellier?
He's one member in our film. Uh-huh. And so we're two U.S. Air Force, a major general, a brigadier general. So if you haven't looked and investigated, I would encourage you to do that first before forming opinions on the issue. But everything we said would happen at geoengineeringwatch.org, including the massive escalation of climate cataclysm, weather cataclysm that's occurring around the globe, is exactly what we have said would happen for 15 years. So I would argue, yes, I'm already being vindicated every single day that passes.
Okay, I just wondered if you thought officially maybe they will even set up some geoengineering department and put you in it.
Why would they do that?
Why not? If you're right, you know?
This is not for benevolence. Why would they want someone who's trying to expose the criminality of what they're doing? I'm sorry, I just don't understand the question, Murr, of why they would want me involved with trying to stop their programs.
Okay, I want to ask you, too, would you have Jim Lee of climateviewer.com in a debate?
You know, I'm here to discuss the issue, Murr. I'm not here to discuss others that like to throw mud. So I'm here for the issue, and if you have questions on the issue, I will definitely address those.
Well, I just want to say this then, that I announced what I was planning to do this coming Sunday on my 2 p.m. Central show here on RBN, and all this discussion is really great for RBN. So I guess that's why I was moved to say it, because in Matthew 24 it says, "First, be not deceived." And the title of the video, it's 2 hours, is Dane Wigginton, gatekeeper and chemtrail scaremonger.
We know the title.
Murr, when you've investigated nothing, when you've investigated nothing, and you apparently have judged and convicted without
Murr, I'm going to cut you off right now if you don't listen. Listen first.
Well, my question is, without investigating any of it, is it in a court of law, Murr? Do you have a certain criminal come in and give his whole testimony, and nobody's allowed to tell their side of the story, and you judge, convict, and throw them out the window? Is that really a rational Christian thing to do?
I
don't think
analogy.
So.
Let me say, I didn't say I haven't investigated this at all. That's an assumption by you.
So why would you do an attack piece like that? I'm not going to roll in the mud, Murr.
Murr, your time is up, Murr. That's it. You're done.
You guys want to
drop the call? Drop
the
call, Murr. Goodbye. I'm very disappointed in you, Murr. You know, you talk about doing your research and you bring some good stuff to the network and articles and discussion points, but then you come and attacking again, asking you to ask direct questions. You decided to go in the pathway of the person that wrote the article that was slinging mud. I asked you not to do that. Not an honorable thing to do. We're moving on. Next call is coming from our last call, actually. Will be coming from, where are we coming from? Hold on here. Sorry. Looks like Lynn in Maryland. Lynn in Maryland, you're up next.
Thank you, Steve. I hope you're feeling good.
I'm feeling good.
You're getting your strength back. And thank you, Dane. I actually just called in to listen a few minutes ago, but I wanted to let you know that I spoke to Mr. McLamoffa's office a couple weeks ago, to one of his staffers in the D.C. office a couple of times.
Are you talking about Doug LaMalfa?
Over the years, yeah, your representative that you spoke about.
Go ahead.
Listen to you on rents.
Yes.
And I also, over the years, I've left messages for Democracy Now! About you and given your website. So I don't know why she ignores this.
Because I can answer both those questions.
It's not saying that people don't want to go for climate change. Of course, there's still climate change. You keep screwing with the weather. You know, things are, there are going to be repercussions all over the place, like no bees or ants and the trees are dying and I can't breathe. But, and thank you for your hard work, for your dedication. I appreciate you, Dane. And I hope if you talk to Russ, say hi from Lynn in Maryland, please.
Thank you, Lynn. And two questions. Doug LaMalfa's office in Northern California knows all about this issue. We've had a half a dozen meetings personally with Congressman LaMalfa. His staff knows about this issue. They used to call me at home on the weekends to express their angst at the spraying going on in our skies. They got told, in their own words, their staffer told me that they were told to shut up about this issue, and that's exactly what they did. Immediate about-face, complete denial from total acknowledgement, and that's how bought and paid for our so-called elected officials are. It's shocking. In regard to, I think Lynn mentioned Democracy Now!, that's the largest so-called progressive news outlet in existence, I believe. Amy Goodman, whom I've met personally twice as well, and my question to her was, why wouldn't she address this issue, her statement to me, in rather caustic terms? Well, at least I tell most, at least I'm able to address most of the truth. Why would she say that? Because she's receiving funding from the Ford Foundation.
Exactly.
And she knows how long her leash is. And my response to Amy is, Amy, there's not most of the truth. There's either all the truth or something other than the truth. A boat doesn't float if it's mostly watertight. Would you sail across the ocean on a mostly watertight boat? No. So bottom line is, thank you, Lynn. That's the kind of help we need. People rattling the cages of the so-called cowardly elected officials and media that won't tell the truth. So, Steve and Steve, my deepest thanks to both of you for being willing to address the truth head on. It's our collective efforts that can yet make a difference, and my thanks to all your listeners as well.
Yeah. Can we get one last call in before the 2 minutes? Can we get one more in, Dan?
I mean,
Dane? One more. This is the last call. We're going to let him go. Dan in Washington, you're on. Make it fast.
Yeah, thanks for doing a great job. I live in Washington, and the heat dome is not a normal thing, and I see the chemtrails everywhere I go. I drive trucks. But real quick, what about other countries? What do you know about Russia or China's involvement in this geoengineering operation? Are they involved, or are they against it?
Super important question, Dan. Thank you for bringing it up. In regard to the high-pressure heat domes that now we see everywhere, we hear referred to everywhere, ionosphere heater-induced high-pressure heat dome, they can trigger an electrical chain reaction in the ionosphere, causes the atmosphere to bulge up and down. The downward push is a high-pressure heat dome that allows them to steer upper-level wind currents, which allows them to steer moisture currents, part of climate engineering operation. In regard to other countries and their involvement, we have Senate documents posted at geoengineeringwatch.org, some 800 pages long, that speak directly to the international cooperation, even between otherwise adversarial nations on this issue because of the cross-border ramifications. Also in these documents, calling for blanket, total legal immunity for anyone and everyone involved. Now, at this late date, as the planet begins to unravel, food supplies begin to crumble, we don't know at this point, we have no way of knowing, if these formerly cooperative efforts, each country for their own objectives and agendas, may be turning into adversarial operations, i.e. whether warfare between nations, so we can't know where that line is drawn at this point. But yes, they are all neck deep in these operations, no question about that. Thank you for the question.
Thanks for
great
taking
question.
The call. Thanks.
All right, appreciate that, Dan in Washington. And Dane, again, we thank you for coming on. And go to his website. Please go to his website, geoengineeringwatch.org. If you have not seen the video, the documentary, The Dimming, please do and share it with others. It's a great documentary spelling it out, what's really going on in our environment here. Dane Wigginton, thank you for coming on today.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Dane. Appreciate it.
All right. Keep up the good fight, Dane.
Thanks.
We appreciate you. Well, I'm glad we got that over with. A little disappointed in a certain person, but that's all right. I move on. I digress.
Well, I like the questions. I think the questions are good, you know. And the key thing is, of course, they're, you know, I want to look at everybody's input into this. It's kind of tough to tell what's going on in the future for the Earth here, but there are certain things that we know are in fact real. And like you pointed out, you know, the skies are hazy now. I don't get to fly very often. I used to love to fly, but I get to fly about once every 4 or 5 years. And I remember, you know, I'd get up in the plane and your visibility was about, you know, I'm talking 36,000 feet, Steve. Yeah. You know, you had 600 miles of visibility. And I was thinking, oh, the last time I got on a plane, I got up there and I took 3 or 4 trips actually during this period of time. Man, you're lucky if you can see 200 miles now. You know what I mean? This is in Colorado. We used to be able to see Pike's Peak from 140 miles away. Very rarely can you see on the horizon anymore here. And, you know, the air is very dry and clear. So we used to be able to see a long, long ways. And, you know, you can definitely tell our entire atmosphere is becoming very hazy right now all over. And that's just a visual note and observation. Yeah. But, yeah, something's really wrong.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's, you know, it's like clockwork, though. I look over and I said a while back, I said, hey, pretty soon, guess what's happening in California? The fires, the forest fires will start. And a lot of these, they'll say it started by nature, lightning strike or something like that. But a lot of them actually started by a strike of a match. We have arson as part of this whole agenda here. I remember we're living in Northern California just before I left to move down to Florida. They had started their little operation there, Burn Baby Burn, and of course that was all part of Agenda 2030 sustainability here, forcing people out of areas and pushing them towards the center. And it continues year after year after year. You know what, Steve, I was thinking the other day, they talk about how expensive it is to put out all these forest fires, the number of man hours, the number of people that are used to put out forest fires. How about forest management? How many people does it take to actually management of the forest to clean up the debris, the kindling that's laying down below the trees, or versus what we end up paying later on in the cost of manpower, lives, safety, resources, water, helicopters, dropping water, all those things factored in? It's got to be a lot more expensive than actually maybe in increasing some monetary to the campaign of forest management. I don't quite understand why they're not going for forest management. Instead, they wait till it happens. Again, now that it happens, they can actually point to climate change caused this, and it helps their agenda. But it doesn't appear to be anybody thinking the way I am thinking about forest management and stopping these fires. They just simply like them. They use them for the agenda.
Right. They sure do. And the accelerants that are being used out there, you know, some of them may be part of this chemtrail formula, I believe, as well. And, you know, you notice what happens when they spray these things with fire retardant.
Yeah.
That is a very toxic chemical. So it's not likely that the, you know, the ground is going to be really fertile or is going to have to react to some of these chemicals that are there. We see this all over the place. But like those fires in Ontario, what were there? Something like 120 of them. You know, those were being set. We've seen fires out here in Colorado that have been set. Yes, we have had lightning strikes. We've had dry forests. We've had a lot of things. And they could have been stopped by, as you said, forest management, Steve. Yeah. It could have been done and should have been done in a lot of cases. And we can take much better care of our forests than we should have. But the fact is, you know, a lot of these are human started. And some of the biggest fires in cities are human started, too. Friends, and we're seeing houses burning from the inside out, which is clearly, as Virginia says, this is poor wiring. These are smart meters. These are houses that are taking hits from electricity grids that are burning from the inside out. Look at Paradise, California. Look at what happened in the and just south of Boulder in that area there, the Marshall
Chester,
fire. Oh my God, it's awful.
I missed all that, and thank God, my old house that I sold almost burned to the ground. It got lucky. They missed my neighborhood. Very serious stuff here. And well, we got another call coming in. Let's go ahead and take this call from Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Hi, y'all. I didn't want to call in while Dane was on because I didn't really have a question for him, but about forest fires, and this was in California, but it might apply there in Colorado too, and these other places. I don't remember this guy's name, but it was an interview Dave Hodges had last week, and this guy lives in Colorado or in California, and he lives up in the mountain. He didn't have a real fancy home,
right?
But he talked about, you know, the cleanup and stuff like that. Now he said that on your cleanup, they anything on the your main house, and it might have been other buildings too, it's all considered hazardous waste. And that's a big cost of you cleaning up the area so you can even rebuild. And he says that usually eats up a lot of the insurance that you had on the property. So you don't have that money to rebuild, and then the permits... Right. Just to rebuild, that's another thing. And then, like, he had a forested area that he had them come in, and the people that log to come in and clean some of this up, and they gave him so much for it, and then they made money on the rest of the log. But if you don't do that fairly quickly, you know, within a year of when it burns down, especially when he was talking about the fir trees, but it could be the hardwoods too, it's going to be eaten up by bugs, and they're not going to want the wood.
Right.
And then he was talking to these loggers, because he had California clean up some of it. He had a couple of different lots, and they cleaned it up, some of it. He was eligible for that, but he didn't make any money off of that as far as his forestry, his wood and stuff. But and they were cut. He had redwoods on his property, and they were cutting the redwoods into, like, I think he said, I want to say 9-foot pieces, where the loggers who were logging the rest of it, they would cut it in like 40-foot pieces. Mm-hmm. And he talked to the guys that were working for the state of California, and they said, what are you going to do with that redwood? Because that redwood's expensive wood. I mean, he gave a figure on what it was worth, and man, that's expensive wood. And they said, oh, they're just going to grind it up and use it for mulch. Well, he talked to the loggers, and the logger said, no, that's not what they do with it. They sell it to the Chinese that go and, they either, a lot of it they do take home, because they don't have any forest in China. And another comment he made was when all these fires were happening and Trump was still president, he remembers mm-hmm. him making a comment to the governor of California. He says, you know, you guys are expecting the federal government to give you all this aid when you have these forest fires, but you're not keeping the debris down so they won't, just go and burn out everything.
Yeah.
And it's like a subsidy, and then, I don't know if this was a comment somebody else made, or that he was quoting, or the guy that given the interview just said on his own that, it's almost like every time the state of California needs money, they have a forested area go up in smoke. But they're running people off the land because they can't rebuild.
I tell you what, hold your call there. Hold your thought there, Sherry. We'll come right back to you, okay? Short commercial break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. You will say I lost my belief in our politicians.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
And we are back. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
I just thought it was very interesting insights this guy had, because you could see he'd been looking at a lot of different aspects of this. He seemed to be very knowledgeable. And just the part about, you know, these governments make money when a property turns over, too. You know,
yes,
if you can't afford to rebuild and somebody else comes in, and it's generally somebody with a lot more money than you had, especially, but there were, those are just some aspects of it. And if the property goes back to, a protected area or something, those properties, you know, I remember hearing lately that somebody mentioned that years ago International Monetary Fund told all governments around the world they were not going to loan any more money to any governments unless they put up some assets. Well, here in the United States, one of those assets would be property that could potentially be mined or those resources held for future generations. And that's what's happening to a lot of this property, that people are getting run out of the country and into the cities.
Yeah, you know,
well, that's part of the Agenda 2030 program of sustainability. Steve, you would agree with that. We saw that, and this is all planned. This is all planned out, especially in California. They talked about it, and you're absolutely correct. Forcing people out of areas here, and then somebody with bigger bucks comes in, of course, or the government comes in and says the area now is a sanctuary. You can't build there anymore, or the insurance companies make it very difficult for you to get permits to actually build there again because of fire zones. Well, the entire state is a fire zone, if you think about it, but it's all part of the Agenda 2030 plan of sustainability.
Right. You know, Catherine Austin Fitz was pointing out that the BLM fires were following right along the lines of urban renewal and property redevelopment. I mean, they didn't cross the street. You know what I mean? It was very, very strange. She said, these are properties that are going to be acquired under the damage and taken over by bigger financing and people like that. She could actually trace it back to who was involved with these things. How is it that BLM riots are following this banker's urban renewal program, right? You know, pretty interesting.
Are you talking about the ones in the cities?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I kind of remember hearing something.
Yeah.
She said that.
Yeah, go back and look it up. She does. She actually shows you some of the borders and the exact places where this took place.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to throw that in, guys. Good show.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, good. Uh-huh. Very good. Very good, Sherry. Thank you. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Yeah, this is all planned out, Steve. This is all by design. They're following through step by step with the agendas. So let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Jerry in Chirac. Chirac, yeah.
Yeah,
Jerry, are you there?
Yeah, you're pretty close with that name. Hey, guys, thanks a lot for taking my call. Hope you're having a good afternoon. Listen, I've been listening to Dane talk and keeping up with them with his geoengineeringwatch.org for probably 11 years. And I think he's spot on. I mean, anybody that looks straight up in the sky and watching these guys lay out the stripes and the crisscross patterns, and then look an hour later, they're not gone. They're actually wider because they're coming down to Earth. That's weight.
Yeah.
That's not time trail, condensation.
Well, they kind of spread out. If it was a condensation trail, then the condensation would have been burned up with the sun beams. Correct?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Right. They dissolve.
So their particles suspended in the air there, those are chemicals that can't be dispersed by the sun itself. So condensation trail, totally different than a chemtrail. These are chemtrails. You'll see in the next day, for God's sakes, and they spread out all over.
Yep.
Yes, and they get wider because they're falling closer to the Earth. And
exactly.
everything gets gray. I mean, I'm looking up at the sky right here in Oak Lawn, Illinois, and oh, my God, it's totally grayish white.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Hey, something else I happen to notice too is I never really had a power wash my sidewalks because they were on the sunny side of where I live. Mm-hmm. I got to do this every year. They're black.
Yeah.
They're black.
Mine
as too. If you walked in the mud and you scraped your feet off real good on it, but it's not dirt. Something is in there. Okay.
That is interesting.
Yeah, well,
because I have the same issue. I have the same issue, Jerry. And my driveway, I have to power wash it, and it should have evaporated, and the heat and everything, and I'm getting after this black stuff. I've got to take off. You're right. There is something there.
Well, you know what I found out too is I just tried it last year.
I'll tell you what. Hold your thought there. We'll bring you back after commercial break. Hang on, Jerry.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
And we go back to the phones. Let's pick up where we left off with Jerry in Chicago. Jerry, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Hey, I wanted to mention to you real quick before I get on to one other thing. Yeah. Is next time you power wash your driveway, let it dry for a day or two, blow it off with a leaf blower or something, get yourself a garden pump sprayer, fill it up with Thompson's Water Sealer.
I was just going there. Nice. Yep.
Oh, okay. And you'll see a huge difference.
That's a great idea. I was thinking the same thing. Seal it. Somehow seal it so it doesn't happen again. And they can spray it off easy. Yeah.
You're in Florida. You don't have to worry about winters and ice and snow and everything else like that. But you do have to worry about rain. And you wouldn't want to use a commercial floor sealer for concrete because it might turn into an ice skating rink when it rains.
Yeah, right.
Hey,
right.
The other thing I wanted to mention, too, and you know something's going on with the chemicals they're putting in the air. I was out in Indiana about 5 years ago. I did a service, and it got dark. And this is 19 acres of forest that I was at. And I put a flashlight about 60 feet away. Not one bug. I sat there and watched not one bug. And you know how bugs are attracted to light in the summertime.
Yeah.
So,
Matt, you brought that up. Let me ask you, you guys have lightning bugs out there in Chicago, right? Illinois? Lightning bugs?
Used to.
Yeah. Indiana used to have lots of them. I don't know if they return or there's one of these situations that are just disappearing. Just curious.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're going bye-bye. I don't see them in Chicago, but when I go out to Oregon, Illinois, by the Rock River, I might see one or two where normally you used to see hundreds of them.
Yeah,
and the mosquitoes bother you. And, I mean, it's just weird. I mean, there is a huge lack of bugs. I mean, I'm at a cottage where somebody's got their lights on. Not one bug is flying around the light. You can look in the lenses now during the daytime, and you can't see all the bugs that got into the light fixture.
That is interesting.
And died. So, hey, that's all I wanted to say. You guys have a great day.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks again for the call. All right. That is interesting. How about your neck of the woods there, Steve?
Yeah, we've had it's different. We have a lot of these Japanese beetles that are eating up a lot of things. Yeah, and we have these tiny mosquitoes that you can hardly see, but the doggone things are dangerous. You can't even see them out here. Lightning bugs and we haven't had for a long time. Lightning flies, but you know, hey, I just wanted to mention though that they wanted us to tell you that the archives are back up and running at the website. Things went down for a while. They had to renew everything and get it going again. But yes, the archives are back up. I had a show on Monday with Dr. Gavin Finley talking about the 70 weeks prophecy. And I wanted to send that out to a lot of people. And I was going, shucks, it's gone. But it's back up. It's back up. Good. So if you missed the show and you want to get back, you can take this show, by the way, and you should get it out to people out there. Send it out to folks that you know. Put it on your website or your Substack or whatever, and we'll have they load all those old shows. I guess they said they're going to be up there though, so don't worry.
No, that's good. I'm glad they got back on that. I received several emails on that. The archives are down, but they're back up. So take advantage if you missed a show. Catch up. Let's go back to the phones and let's talk with Kathleen in Texas. Welcome, Kathleen.
Hey, Steve, great show. Steve Elkins, you continue to be in my prayers with your medical situation.
Thank you, hon. Appreciate that.
If there is a debate about a topic, I think that's a good thing to set up. A formal debate. And if there are topics you don't want callers to say, I can understand that. But I really was very upset with how you talked to Murr. I think that you're denigrating her by saying that she was just a temporary host on RBN.
Well, she is. She is. I'm being honest with you. She is a temporary host.
Well, I don't think she is. And
no,
so,
she is. She's a temporary host. She's done some nice work. I appreciate some of the work that she's done, but she's really come off kind of bossy and kind of nasty. I've got emails from her, and I didn't appreciate it. The way she handled it. I asked her to call in and be direct with a question and not to give us her spin on whatever. She's taken the bait. I agree with Dane. These people are out to destroy him, out to discredit him. And he's solid as can be. I back him. I have a good judgment of character. Dane is a quality guy. I stand by him. That's why I brought him on to get away, to stop this negative talk. And if I asked her to merge, to just ask the question, and she didn't even allow him to finish before she interrupted, and that's rude. Where I come from, that's rude. I'm sorry, but that's rude. Let him finish. You can come back and talk. But I didn't think she was very respectful to him, and he's coming on the show to talk about some very important issues, which are real, by the way. It's not made up. It's not a conspiracy theory. Look up in the sky. Yes, we are being poisoned. And he's putting his life on the line. He's getting threats. I get threats. He gets a heck of a lot more threats than I do because of what he's doing.
When there's a debate about something, I do think it's appropriate to set up some kind of debate. But
I asked her to bring him on his show. Bring him on your show and talk about it. That's fine. And she refused to do so.
Well, maybe not on her show, but maybe on another venue. But the point is, I really felt that you were very abusive to her in how you spoke to her, and I know
Let me give you a little background on Murr. Okay, you don't know Murr as good as we do. Murr's been around a long time. Murr's hot and cold. She runs hot. She runs cold. She calls in. John was not happy with her. John actually banned her from the network for a long time. And when we, when John passed away, I said, let's give her another break. Let's give her another shot. Let her come back on. Fine. And she did fine for a while. But when you get nasty with people who are coming on the show to give us the information, she was rude to him. She was disrespectful to him. And I don't tolerate that with anybody, to being disrespectful to me or any of my guests. It's just not the way to handle things. I'm up for debate. Steve and I were just talking in the break here. I love debate. I love good arguments on debate.
Well,
but also, please,
be
respectful.
Why don't you host a debate with people who disagree
Because she's going on the negative side of what that article was all about. She's going on the mudslinging side of what this guy wrote about Dane. Dane wants to stick to the topic, the issues. And that's what I agree with, because it takes him away from the mission. He's not in the – it's like Donald Trump fighting the bad guys who keep throwing mud at him and mud at him, and he throws mud back. It goes nowhere. Dane's got a mission.
I think setting up a venue with a good debate is good, because while you are assuring us that everything is copacetic
– Well, that's what we tried to do.
That's what we tried to do. That's why he came on today. And she wanted to go with the negative side of the article and not talk about the issue. She went on the mudslinging side. That's why he ended the call. Yeah. I didn't want to do that. I did not want
to
do that.
We'll have to agree to disagree, because I thought you were very rude to her. I'd like to hear of a debate. I think a debate would be very good.
She didn't want a debate. She did not want a debate. She wanted to talk about
the
negative part.
On your show, actually.
But you see, she brought it up on her show what she was going to do. If she's going to bring it up on her show, what she wants to talk about and how she went after him, why not have him on her show?
Well, why not have him have a debate on your show?
Well, we tried.
That's what we just tried to do. That's exactly what we tried to do, and she went negative.
Let me give her an explanation as to what happened. We were going to have both on. I really wanted to hear Mer. I wanted to hear what she had to say. I wanted to hear her point of view, and I wanted to hear Dane respond to it. The trouble is, Mer didn't show up on time. And now, that might have been a schedule problem for her. I understand that kind of stuff. But what we really wanted to have was a counterpoint, because I want to hear both sides of the argument myself. I haven't seen Murr's film that she mentioned, and I'll be looking for it after, because I actually supported a lot of Dane's work for many years, sending out that disc that he put out, Global Dimming, and some of the earlier ones that he had. I was actually, when I would sell one of my documentaries, I would actually put one of those for free in, because they were free to copy at that time, and I wanted people to have that information. But I want to hear the counterpoint too. The trouble is, Murr didn't show up until about the last 10 minutes of the show. And that doesn't give Dane a chance to really stop and listen to what she's saying. Let's take it point by point. I agree with you. We want to have a good discussion, but we got to have it set up so that
Steve Sars, I think it would be great if you would host a debate between Dane Wigington and Murr, or not just Murr, somebody else.
Dane, you don't understand. Dane is not going to debate the article and the slander in the article against him, because that guy is destined to take down
to
Dane.
Steve
That's all
Stars
he wants to do.
I was just talking to Steve Stars and you interrupted.
Well, what I will do is I'll take a look at the film. I want to look at the film she mentioned, and then, see where Dane's pretty busy. I can tell you that,
Busy.
Yeah, it's hard to get him even the shows that he does, that he comes on our station, 1360 KHNC, he's a busy guy, and I'm not trying to make excuses for him. I'm just saying that, it's hard to set it up. We tried to set it up so there would be a discussion, but I will look at Murr's film and get a good idea
Thank
what's
you,
there.
Steve.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. And Steve Elkins, I know your heart is in the right place, but you really should examine your conscience about how rude you can be. And I feel like you treated Murr horribly. So anyway, you're all in
agree
my
to disagree. I think I gave her a fair shot at it and talk. That's why I invited her. I told her to come on, and
we'll
she waits like 10
disagree.
Minutes. But then she's attacking. And even Dane was seeing that as an attack, because she went for not a call, not a direct question about what we're talking about. She went after the negative part of that article. And that guy who wrote that article, his job is to take down and discredit Dane Wigington. And I didn't want that. I don't want
to
do any mudslinging.
It'd be interesting to hear what Deborah Trevorrow.
She had her shot.
Would
she,
have to
she,
say
had
about,
she had her
about
shot. She had her shot.
So maybe have a good round right. table. But anyway, yep. You're all in my prayers, and we can all pray for peace.
I'd like that. I like that. Peace is good. No, I think Steve let her go. I think we were fair and honest. I wanted her to ask direct questions, and she was leaning in the bad area. And I tried to get her back to asking the question, and she refused to, wanted to go to the negative side. And even Dane didn't appreciate that. I'm sure Dane and I'll have a talk later on and say she was trying to bait me. She's trying to make trouble. I want to stick with the issues, and that's exactly what I wanted. That's all I wanted when I brought these two together. I did not want an argument, fight. I wanted to talk about the issues, and she wanted to talk the negative side, so it didn't happen. Let's go back. We got to squeeze a couple calls in here. We're skipping the break, and we are going to go back to the phones and talk to Laura in Michigan.
Hello, Steve.
And hello, Steve. Laura.
And Dane.
Hey, Laura.
Thank you for having Dane on. I just felt that, you know, it's just fair to notify him if somebody's yeah. saying something. He's a private citizen, and as he says, he doesn't take any money from anybody for commercials and that sort of thing. I felt he needed to have his say. I felt like it's a politician. It's a different story. You've got their voting record and whatever.
Right.
That's the problem with social media. People can put anything down, any kind of article or video. You have no idea if they're true or they're just trying to destroy the person.
Yeah, well, I think I was fair and honest because you notified me and I talked to Dane, and I thought it was fair and honest how we handled this. Steve and I talked about it before we went on the show, and we did not want a cat fight, dog fight, whatever you want to call it. It was simply Dane was defending himself, what he's doing, 20 years of dedicating his life for this, and he's right on the money. And that's all I wanted to talk about, the issues. I don't want to talk about slander. And the article that she sent me is a slanderous. It's by somebody who wants to discredit him, bring him down, who doesn't want to debate the issues, who wants to bring him down other ways, using the label process of a bad way. And I offered her the opportunity. And I don't like people, when somebody's in a discussion, answering the question, at least one question, and she interrupted and kept interrupting. I told her to stop that. Please don't do that. Let him finish. You can respond. That's the fair exchange, and that's what I wanted. We didn't get it, so I had to drop the call. I had to be a little hot to say, that's it, I'm done, because that's not my intention. My intention is to talk about this issue, and it didn't turn out the way I wanted it. But and I can tell you right now, Dane was not happy that he was being attacked. Nobody wants to be attacked. Debate the issues fair, square, that's fine with me, but don't be attacking, and please show a little respect for the guest. This guy's got his neck on the line here. He's doing a lot of hard work for us. He's bringing his great information here. He's making some great strides. We have a lot of work to do. This planet is messed up, and I want to stick with the issues. I don't want to be a Donald Trump mudslinger, and he's slinging mud, and I'm slinging mud. I don't want to go there. This is not Jerry Springer. I don't want that kind of show. I did bring him on to talk about the issues, and that's exactly what he did. Murr didn't stick with the program and asking the direct question. She went to the other side. The call had to end. And I hated the way I did it, but I had to do it. It's over. I gave her fair warning. Fair warning, I had to end the call. That's the way it goes.
We need to all buy one of Dane's T-shirts, because I think walking around one of those
T-shirts. Well, we all need to see the video.
What is geoengineeringwatch.com?
geoengineeringwatch.org. Yeah. And please watch the video, the dimming. You got to see this video, this documentary, the dimming. Must watch.
Okay, thanks a lot. All right. Thanks for bringing him on.
Thanks, Laura. Appreciate your call. Thanks again for the call. We've got three in the loop here. We got to get to really quick here. And we got Suzanne in Southern California. You're on.
Hello there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hear you fine. What's your question?
Okay, yep, I'm on.
You're
the
on.
Number. I wanted to be a woman's voice saying I was not offended by what happened. You know, I don't want to even say anyone's name. I'm just grateful that you had Dane on to talk about this issue. And really, it is. We just need to talk about that issue. I agree. And there's all kinds of crap going on. I have trees and gardens, and I'm growing food, and I'm seeing all kinds of funky stuff. So yep. I appreciate that you had him on. I was not offended by the exchange that took place, so I just want to say that. And as far as the bug report from Rancho Cucamonga, California, which is in Southern California, I've got a bunch of bugs, but I allow a lot of native, well, some people call them weeds. I research them. Sometimes I harvest them and dry them and eat them, and sometimes I rip them out and add them to the compost pile. But the point is I have a lot of native grasses and what have you. So we have quite an abundance of insects at our place. So that's my report from here, and I'll say goodbye and listen off air or listen off the phone.
All right. Anyway. I appreciate the call. Thanks. Yeah, I didn't want the exchange. Trust me. I didn't want that exchange the way it went, and I tell you right now, if John Stadmiller was sitting in this chair, he would have been a little bit more vocal, a lot hotter than I end up being, so I'm a lot less than John Stadmiller. Back to the phones again, and we got three to knock out real quick here, and we got John in Colorado.
Hi, Steve. Dane. It was a good show. Thank you very much for being Deb Dane on and all that, and appreciate it. You know, I know some of these people really get slandered and attacked for what they think they believe, and a lot of truth gets left off, truthfully. But as far as I remember, it's funny, I remember when John banned Murr. I didn't know Murr that long. I listened to her before she sounded very good. Also, she came on one time and just gave, kind of just told John what she thought, and she was gone. And I thought
I know.
After John passed away, you invited her back on, and she's got a show, fine. I don't remember when it is. I haven't listened to her much, but it's good. But like I said, thank you very much, especially taking this place, Mike Rivero's spot. All you guys chiming in, whether they get somebody permanent and whatever it is.
Looking
thank you
that.
Very much for doing it. It's all the good news.
Appreciate that. Appreciate it. We're looking. We're looking hard. I'm thinking this is temporary. And John and Steve's busy guy, and I'm a busy guy. This is a little time out of my schedule, and I don't mind doing it. I'm a team player. I don't mind doing it. But I want to stick to the issues. I don't want to make this going back and forth platform of people arguing and fighting. I just want to stick with the issues. And Dane's a good guy. Like I said, I'm a darn good judge of character. And John Stadmiller was too. And I give people second chances. Sometimes I even give them a third chance. And that's pretty much it. Third strike, you're out. And people make mistakes. They say things they shouldn't have said. And I say, well, that was then, and this is now. Maybe we'll give them another shot. And I've done that to several people on this network. There were callers. And I finally, at some point in time, when they come back and revert, go back to what they were doing, they got them banned the second time. Then I said, that's it. I have to hold my ground on this one here. I want the show to be successful, and I want to talk about the issues. Let's go back and talk to James in Vancouver. James in Vancouver. Oh, I'm sorry, Dan. Dan in Washington.
I'll be quick. I just want to say thanks for having Dane on again. You had him on before, and he probably has a 99.9% approval rating from the audience. I think most people love him and respect the work he does. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hear the phone call from Murr. I heard the one with the other guy, though, that was kind of being a smart ass about the percent of water molecules and methane or whatever he was trying to. Dude, I was pretty disappointed. But it is Republic. I mean, I'm surprised no one called in to tell them that the Earth was flat, right? So
nope,
we got our
nobody,
listeners
nobody
out
did
there.
Nobody did that.
great show, and hopefully he comes on again. I agree with everything he says pretty much. So
I think this guy's got his ducks. I think he's got his ducks in a row. Steve Starrs, you agree? He has his ducks in a row.
Yeah, I would like to have heard Dane's explanation on the water molecule percentage and things like that, because there would have been something that we would have come away understanding. I mean, people can raise good questions, but then you got to back off and say, well, this is the percentage, and he talked about the amount of methane versus carbon dioxide, which was a really good answer, because that's a question I would have asked him.
Well, I think he recognized... Steve, he recognized he was being set up here, and the guy didn't, he was trying to set him up, unfortunately. And like I said, let's stick to the issues. And we're getting our share of trolls come to the network, no doubt about it. And I want to stick to the facts. Let's get our last call in here before the time is up. James in Vancouver, you're back up.
Yeah, I've got Kleenex for sale. If anybody wants to dry their tears, what really interested me about Dane Wigington's last remarks were the military use of moving these airstreams high in the atmosphere and letting them come down.
Yeah.
And this happens because they're able to change the viscosity. I would like to have talked more to him, but I got off the line because there were other callers. But if you're able to change the viscosity at will of the atmosphere, then you can get air masses to do all kinds of things. So I think this is something that people should, you know, but at the same time, look at, they're killing people with vaccines, but nobody understands, right? Yeah. So
right.
They're going to kill you with vaccines, you know, those generals, they got to bomb something. So they're bombing the atmosphere. Back to you.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, you were in, you know, Florida. You know, a lot of questions about the hurricane that hit Fort Myers that took a turn. And there was questions at that time about weather control of what could have happened. I don't know what the consensus was. It would have been interesting to hear Dane's view on that.
He actually explained that the last show I had. He said that thing was directed.
Yeah, I think it might have been, too.
It knocked out Fort Myers. It knocked out Sanibel Island. It knocked out a lot of areas. Matter of fact, they're still down because we used to have a little vacation spot there in Sanibel, and it's pretty much demolished. It's going to be years and years before it comes back. So he explained that once before when I had him on. I think I had him on about 2 months ago. Maybe I had him in May or something like that. I have to look at my records. But, no, he's spot on. He knows what he's talking about. And if he doesn't, he's not going to speak otherwise. He's a sharp guy. He's honorable, and that's why I wanted to bring him on and talk about this issue here. And he explained it quite well. There are people that are working very hard behind the scenes to discredit him and to label him. And we deal that with that all the time. Steve, you and I bring up something, and then we have somebody that decides to not talk about the issue because they can't debate their side. They'd rather place a label on us, a derogatory label, to shut us down. Or they call you a homophobe, they call you an anti-Semite or a racist, white supremacist, but they haven't addressed the issue, the argument, and they simply go with the labeling process, and I don't like that. I don't want to go there. And Dane's a sharp guy, and we'll bring him back again, definitely bring him back again. Charlie Brown's a good man, Charlie Brown, and definitely I stand by him. I stand by people I believe in. I really do. That's my character, who I stand for. And when I was tipped off this was going to happen, I had to say something. Sure, bring him on. Well, I think that's pretty much coming to our end. I haven't heard our music yet. Is our music coming up soon?
There it is. Yeah, there it is.
All right, Steve Starrs, thanks for being with me tonight.
My pleasure.
That completes our show tonight. Thank you for participation. I hope the two Steves gave you something to think about. Back again on Sunday from my show, Off the Beaten Path. Health, happiness, and safe travels. We will talk again. Good night.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.